The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to The Lawyer's Edge, a program that seeks to answer your questions on civil, criminal, constitutional, and political legal matters with attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. Robert J. Slama is a U.S. veteran and prominent attorney who has served as counsel for some of Jacksonville's most high-profile cases. Robert Slama is a member of the Florida Bar and the U.S. Supreme Court Bar Associations. He's argued cases in Florida, as well as constitutional cases, before the highest court in the land. David Trotty is a Florida Bar attorney, practicing since 2000, and is a certified civil and family law mediator and a qualified arbitrator in the state of Florida. His practice focuses on family and criminal law issues and mediation. He's a former Marine who served in Japan and the U.S. Embassy in Austria and Tanzania. Also a federal police officer with the Central Intelligence Agency. It's now time to discuss today's legal topics and issues and how they impact your family and small business. Now, live from the WBOB studios, here's attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty.
And I'm not an attorney, I just play one on TV. Hi, this is Roger Henderson, along with Robert J. Slama. So David's got court today, right?
He's in mediation. His mediation went over, and that sometimes happens.
Okay.
So he's stuck.
Right. Well, you know what? He gets to do what he loves, so it's really not stuck. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Very true.
So they say.
Well,
but is that exactly true, or are you just working something you happen to love also, which is a benefit? Rather be doing work that you love than work that you don't love.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think it's still all work.
As my dad used to say, every vocation eventually becomes a job.
People who usually say that are politically posturing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there's certainly a great deal of satisfaction. Listen, for today, calling in, and Russell, thanks for calling in last time. Russell, you won the Maggiano's gift certificate. Today, we're giving away something equally, I think, equally satisfying is P.F. Chang's.
Cool.
A gift certificate to P.F. Chang's. So call in. We'll put your name in the hat and certainly pull you out. We want to do everything we can to have you enjoy this hour. And as we do, I'm hoping that some of the information we provide helps you in your everyday life. I know I hear the reason I hear this all the time, Roger, is people like you, you being one of those who keeps up with a lot of the stuff that you see on TV, OJ, The Last Confession. And I get stopped all the time in the street and people say they watched this high profile case. I watch people who then see things on TV, whether it's like CSI or my mom used to love NCIS, Los Angeles, whatever it is. She'd watch all those shows. And then people ask, Robert, is this what happens? Is this what you do? And let me say it this way, the way the Bible says it, because it's very, I think it's very telling. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. I would watch every day someone come in, going through some event, and they try to use common sense going through the thing called the legal system. And what I keep trying to tell people is take that common sense hat off for the time being, because this is cave diving. I don't cave dive. You know, the good, the really, 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 really good divers who know how to go underwater. And get, don't get me wrong, I'm sure looking at those caves underwater is beautiful. But if you don't know what you're doing, it's a trap for the unwary, and you go down and you never come up. And
right.
I say this to people all day long. The legal system, there are holes. There are gradations. There are places that are traps. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you go in a hole, you never come out. I watch this. I get what I call my 10 calls a day. And how do people end up there, Roger? They do like what you see here.
Mm-hmm.
People know what you don't know. How do you know, Roger, what you don't know?
So basically you're talking about people who are practicing law for themselves without being an attorney.
And do it because they have a little bit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. They read. This is what I don't like about the internet.
I'm so guilty of this. Go ahead.
That's why I'm looking at you like this, because you are the prototypical person that I see. Read a little bit. Get online and go, I got this. I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
My father-in-law, he used to crack me up. He grabbed me one day, And he says he was putting trespass signs up all around the property. They have 20, they had 26 uh-huh. acres. It just recently sold. 26 acres. And he goes, I'm putting up trespass signs. He said, I read the statute. I said, okay, good. You read a statute. Nice. So I know what I'm doing. I started laughing. And he goes, what's so funny? I said, you know what you're doing? What do you mean you know what you're doing? Robert, this is simple. This is a trespass sign. This is a little statute. I can read English. And he was proud of himself. My point is, right. like you, every time I see someone, I know they're in trouble. Uh-huh. They look exactly like Roger. Roger will have a smile on his face. He's read something and goes, I got this.
I'm a trained professional now.
I got this. I read it, and they feel really good about themselves like I do when I put the floor down.
Right.
I paint the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. I know you – now, sounds. This is why I said it sounds crazy, and we'll uh-huh. get into the topics for today. Two big topics. You read what you read, like my father-in-law, and he goes, what can be complicated about a trespass sign and how to post it? Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mr. Palmer, I said, the problem is you don't know what you read. You think you know what you read,
right.
but you don't know what those words mean.
Well, this is what I did. I had a litigation with someone, sued them, didn't get an attorney, won the case, got, I forget how much I won. It was thousands, and never collected a dime after winning the case.
Congratulations.
See, and it's probably now past the statute of limitations to collect anything.
See, well, no, it's collection is a whole different issue.
Represented myself in court. The judge sided with me, and I got, you know, nice little judgment there. And
Walked away with nothing.
Walked away with nothing.
Now, see, had you had counsel, knowing what the risks are of obtaining money, collecting on a judgment, how to maneuver that person to get money so you didn't have to worry about collecting in a judgment, blah, blah, blah. But anyway,
right.
let me tell you what I'm interested in today, which is important. Two big issues. Here's the first one, which is a distant cousin to what we're talking about. When I ask people, typically, why do you wait? I'm going to give you a scenario. This is a real scenario that we see. In fact, I just saw someone this week, very similar to this basic set of facts. I'll see someone, and it goes like this. How long you been separated? 5 years? 6 years? Some are 10, mm-hmm. but multiple years. Why are you here today? What happened? Here's what's happening. I want you to think about the damage. I call it the damage of delay. The damage of delay. I said to her, you do realize tomorrow when you're going on spring break next week, you get in a car accident. You get killed. Have you thought about what's going to happen with the child? What's going to happen with your money? What's going to happen with your 401k? What's going to happen with all your stuff? You're still married to this person. Have you thought about the chaos that you've got coming your way? And I always get the look, which is kind of, but not really, but I'm not really sure, but I really don't want to think about it. So again, what brings you here today? Here's what brings people. At some point, they realize they've got some jeopardy, but they don't know what kind of a mess. Then I'll hear this, which scares me even more. Someone will say, Roger, and you and I can have this conversation as spiritual people and most of the people listening. God is in control, so I know everything will just work out. And I look at them and go, yes, he is. And yes, everything will work out, but you just left out a couple of key adjectives,
mm-hmm.
which are the root of this problem, how it's going to work out. I have led people exactly like this. I've dealt with them afterwards when they messed it up. And I am telling you, you have no idea what pain on earth is. So stay with me. Call in at 222-TALK, 222-TALK. We have not only the gift certificate for P.F. Chang's, but we're going to talk about the danger of delay. And then in the second half, we're going to talk a little bit about dependency court. And for all you grandparents and people out there with children that have issues with drugs, alcohol, and the other stuff, what moves you got to make in order to take care of that grandchild? But we're going to talk to you today. Today on The Lawyer's Edge, call us.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently the jury verdict in Jermaine Dubose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
You're listening to The Lawyer's Edge, Robert J. Slama and David Trotty, typically here together, but Robert has a mediation right now. David has mediation right now. Robert Slama talking about the law today and kind of reading my mail as I put on my attorney hat and represented like Perry Mason in the courtroom. You should have seen me, Robert. You would have been proud.
I'm sure you run fire.
Won the court case and was able to get a judgment, never collected, and that's only one example, but other people try to represent themselves. I've got another friend, Robert, you know him too, whose wife, I believe, was in a car accident, and he decided he would negotiate with the insurance company himself instead of having to pay the lawyer. And time went on, and then it's almost 2 years. And he says, come on, we need to settle this up. You know, he's thinking they're kind, they care about him, you know, they're fair. And they offered him a drop in the bucket as to what he should have gotten. But at that point, they had like a day or two left, and the statute of limitations would have run out, and I don't think he got anything.
And I like to say that story is a surprise, but it's not. Is folks, when it comes to coming up with, like say, these angles, and I hear this all day, and I tell it to people this way, if you can do what I can do after 26 years, I've been badly defrauded. But here's what a lot of the law is. Just as you see, I always explain it to people this way, and let's use the sports analogy because it tends to work. There are fighters and there are ring generals. You know what you're looking for in an attorney? That's what I said. I don't care about fighters. Fighters are dangerous people, very dangerous. Muhammad Ali was a ring general. Mm-hmm. What that means is when I look at the board and you look at the board, let's take it to chess.
And
now,
Here's another thing. The ring generals make it look easy.
The ring generals always win.
So that gives people the impression that anybody can do it because, after all, I don't think highly of you anyway, and or whatever the case may be. And they make it look easy. They think they can do it too. And then they find out they can't.
They can't. There was a reason why Muhammad Ali could do what he did. There's a reason. But he said when you watch, and I can watch like – I don't know anything about gymnastics. I can watch and I go, wow, that was pretty. That was good. It looked really well done. But the people who have a critical eye, they know exactly what they're looking for. When I watch in the law, as soon as someone starts, and it can be in other sports as well. I certainly know my way around baseball and other things. Mm-hmm. I watch how they're putting together what they're doing. And you can tell by how they're building the house what that house is going to look like. When it comes to law, it's not as apparent to people because I've been doing this and I also know the game board. I can see 8, 10, 12, 14 moves out. So when I'm talking to people, what I'm moving today, I'm looking out way past what you can see and what it's going to look like in the end. Ultimately, what you care about, Roger, is you care about the end game. So let's take a real scenario. Lady comes in, and I'm just using lady just for the example today, but it can be a guy. Comes in, and it's always like this. I have two children, say, and we've been separated. Where is he? He's around. That's the famous answer. He's around. Okay, and this is 5 years? 5 years. What have you been doing for 5 years? And then you get this story, and the story is always kind of the same. Well, I've been doing this and doing that, and then telling me all the frustration that they have over 5 years. And I'm thinking, of course, I would expect you to have frustration. Why? Rule number one, write this down. You don't have a means to manage the chaos. How do you manage it in this situation? Roger, this is how people are going to manage it. I say this, you say that. I call it the street management. Who always wins in the street? The one who's the craftiest, the one who's the biggest, the one who's the meanest, the one who's the strongest, the one who's the nastiest. You fill it in. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to win in the street. So here's what usually happens, and this is the story I hear. So get ready. You'll be an attorney for a day, getting ready for a consultation. He's not doing anything. I look at her. What do you expect him to do? In other words, he's gone. You let him go. Off he went. You don't have any means to manage him, so you have negotiations between you and him. If he's gone with somebody else, I can tell you, when he left and he's with somebody else, that means he has, quote, a new life. And the way, unfortunately, people look at their new life is, I hear this all the time, my new life takes precedence over my old life. Now, you understand in court, that's the exact opposite of what the court says. Your first life, first in time is first in right. Your first life has priority over your current life. Now, you tell me how many new spouses to be, girlfriends, boyfriends, want to hear Roger say, my old life takes precedence over you. No one wants to hear that. Here's truth.
Especially my wife. Anyway, well, go ahead.
Of course. So here's what happens. Every dollar that's leaving your house to go to a prior relationship not only is scorned upon, it will be your undoing, and it creates friction and disharmony and all this stuff in your current setting. So here we are back to this person. I'm looking at this person sitting there and thinking, you've been without child support for 5 years. Oh, yeah, I know the story. You're telling me, well, I got a few dollars here, a few dollars there, but I have a job and I've been able to keep up. Well, all that money is lost money and lost time. Let's say that the child support should have been $600 a month. Over 5 years, by my account, that is tens of thousands of dollars that that person is without. Now you say, how am I going to get that back? When you finally take action, the judge, you ready for this? This is why I say knowledge is power, and not having knowledge and not knowing the game is a quick way to hurt yourself. I get to look at this person and say, let me give you the first small thing that you've done to yourself, and not just to yourself, but to your family. 600 a month times 12 months is?
7,000 and change.
Okay. It's quite a bit. Now multiply that by 5 years. 35,000?
Mm-hmm.
Now watch when I tell him this. Let's say that today the court said child support. By statute, the arrearage cannot exceed 20%. So the most you're going to get, no, it's not 20, it's 20% of the current child support amount. So let's say the court sets child support today at $850. What are you getting? 20% of $850 towards the arrearage plus your $850 payment. How long do you think it's going to take you to recoup that $35,000 that's out the door that you've spent on the young child? And usually the way it goes, those grandparents that are sitting there listening, or the mommies and daddies of the child that's in this, you just spend $35,000 for the benefit of that child that you're lucky to get back over time, because you're getting it at 20% of the current child support amount, which means you're getting a mere pittance. Pittance. And it gets even worse, because when it comes time to try to resolve this case, if I'm representing him, I'm trying to resolve the arrearage and eliminate it. So saying, we'll pay you this going forward, but that 35 grand, let's just write that baby off. Do you know how many people come out of mediation and that 35 grand went up in smoke?
Mm.
Okay, that's just one small piece. Now, I want you to really, I said the danger of delay. Hang on, the danger of delay. Here's how bad it can get.
Okay.
Here's how bad it can get. So the same person, I say, currently, you work for the government? Sure do. I know who's on the 401k. I know who's on those retirement documents, because they have to be. The current spouse. And guess what happens if she gets in a car accident tomorrow and gets hit and killed? The guy who she's married to, who she doesn't want to be with, who she wants all that money to be set aside for the benefit of those children. Do you know who it's going to? To him. Outside of probate, because it passes by operational law. Do you know what he can do? Now, before someone says, but Robert, I am certain that that money then must have to be held for the benefit of the children. Here we go again, people with their angles. You ready for this? He can take it and buy a boat tomorrow with it if he wants to.
Right.
Okay.
No matter how convincing he thinks and is confident and says, I guarantee it, he can't write the law.
He can't. No, I'm saying you can't write the law. Here's what's going to happen is, he's going to, by operational law, get that money, and he can do with it whatever he chooses to do with it. Now, here's the best part. Someone, he's the guardian. He is, when it comes to on the hierarchy, he's the guy who now has dibs on the child, right? So mother just passed away. She didn't take any action. They're still married. It gets even worse, I'll tell you, when we get into a paternity case, which is a separate action if you're not married. But I'm just using if you're still married and you waited 5 years to do this, or 3 years or 2 years, whatever it is, it's waiting too long. Now he has rights to the child. So any other monies that may come in, life insurance, whatever else it is, he goes into guardianship court if he needs to, in order to obtain and get anything if we needed to. But now he's got sole possession, sole custody of the child, and he's entitled to any monies that may be out there, whether it be SSI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any insurance, life insurance, anything and everything, depending upon what this person or who this person had as the beneficiary. Usually, it's still the spouse because they're not divorced. So he gets a windfall of money. Now, here's the trick part of the question that I'm trying to give you, which is reality, because this is what the grandparents would be saying to me. That son of a gun is going to get the money, right? But I know he's not going to take care of the child. And in the end, I, the grandparent, want to see the child. This guy doesn't really have an interest in the child or children. So the grandparents are going to end up basically raising this child. He has all the dough, and he's going to take the dough and spend it of his own accord. And the only visitation that the grandparents can get is what he allows when he allows it. So he's in control of the money, the kids, the deck, but their welfare may not be the best with him. Now you say, Robert, that's pretty scary. That sounds like a nightmare. Do you know how many people right now that are listening to my voice? You're either in this, or for you grandparents, you're going to bed tonight. This is where your daughter is, and this is where your son is. You're exactly in the place of the danger of delay. This is the nightmare scenario. I can add a few more facts to this and make it even worse, but I'm just giving you kind of the thumbnail sketch.
You see cases like this all the time.
Most of the time, unfortunately, it's military folks. Oftentimes, it's everyone. They work for CSX. They work for the top corporations. In fact, the more the person is determined to get by on their own, in other words, it usually begins with this mentality. I don't need him. I don't need her. I'll just handle this myself.
What's the motive usually for wanting to just wing it on themselves, not wanting to pay the attorney fees, or being so confident in themselves that they don't need an attorney and they're good enough?
They want to be in control. They don't want to pay an attorney. And fear. Fear, when they get into the legal system, they give up control. So for a lot of people, they want to deal with, say, it's the other way around. She wants to deal with Roger in the street. Why? She believes she can get everything she needs from you if she gets to deal with you one-on-one. But once you come into the legal system, now you have a judge, you have attorneys, you have other factors to deal with. So everyone wants the first shot at getting to the spouse one-on-one. Because if I can, the belief is, if I can get to you and get you to give me everything I want, I'm in control. And I know you. I know Roger. I know Jimmy. I know Mrs. Smith. But I don't know the legal system. I do know you, though. So it's familiarity. And no one, I said, in the end, it's kind of like in Moonstruck when Danny Aiello is giving the talk about how he's such a great plumber with the lady he's having the affair with. And he says his line is gold. I mean, copper. Copper costs more, but it makes you money in the end. When it comes to this area, thousands of dollars of mistakes. If you have an attorney worth their salt, not only are they going to make you money, they're going to save you from unnecessary hardship, problems, destruction, and unneeded despair. All of that is part of what good counsel should be doing for you. Call us at 222-TALK, 222-TALK. You're listening to A Lawyer's Edge, and today we're talking about, first, the danger of delay. Call us. We're here for you.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge. I'm Roger, and Robert Slama here with us as well. David Trotty, normally with us on Tuesdays from 2 o'clock till 3, is in mediation right now, practicing the law. So Robert's holding it down. We're getting an education on why lawyers are important and the risk and problems that comes up with delaying things that you probably ought to take care of right away.
Oh, absolutely. And now...
And some P.F. Chang's, I understand, is on the line, right?
P.F. Chang's. Last week we gave away Maggiano's. As you can tell, I love to eat and I love good restaurants, and I want you all to share in the same. So call in at 222-TALK, and we have for you the gift certificate for a nice meal over at P.F. Chang's. Well, I want to switch now into something else. We talked about the danger of delay. Let's talk a little bit about something even more fun, which is DCF and Dependency Court. The last thing I'll say about the other thing is, if you have any issue, don't be, it's like going to the doctor. Don't be afraid to go to the doctor. Don't be afraid to go see the lawyer. Go in. The consultation, as David has said before, is free. Sit down, and what you're looking for is not a cheerleader, not someone to say, oh, yeah, we can do this, we can do that. You're looking for a plan and someone who understands how to make a sound plan, one, to get you through the system as quickly as possible and without any unnecessary litigation, to help get you to the bottom line, which is, how are you going to get to the what I call the end game to get the thing that you're after? That's ultimately what this is all about. You're not there for fun, and you're not there just to hang out because you like to hang out with lawyers. You're there because you want to get something done and get to the bottom of the problem.
I do. You know, I feel like I'm hanging with colleagues.
There you go. You're a country lawyer, you?
Well, I won a law case like Perry Mason would have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, DCF, and let me tell you, when it comes to, again, common sense, I have someone, and we're going through this now, and this is kind of the same sort of situation, Roger, and it goes like this. Because you have kids, only you're not going to have this problem. But ultimately, for a lot of folks, they are dealing with this. You know, Roger, we talked about this a little bit the last couple of weeks about mental illness. 1 in 7 Americans is on some sort of medication. I have certainly my understanding and my belief in why all this is going on, and people are throwing out all these different reasons for why this is happening. But that aside, here's the truth. Americans can't sleep. They have difficulty eating. They're overweight. They're dealing with high blood pressure. They're dealing with stress. They're dealing with insomnia. They can't get to sleep, not only at night, they can't take naps. This is the world that our kids are growing up in. And then add to it all of the other types of mental illness that we see. How are people coping with it? We've got folks that are bipolar. We have folks that are schizophrenic. We have folks that are diagnosed with, for lack of a better word, I think it's an overused term, is generalized anxiety. So they start them on pills, which is supposed to be for a short period of time, Xanax and all this other stuff. And here's where they end up. They end up, in some cases, people, you know, the opioid addiction, which we're hearing, which is destroying us. So anyway, that person has kids. And let's say that person isn't even married, which is most of the time what you're dealing with. So it goes like this. Grandfather calls me and says, I'm in bad shape. What's wrong, grandfather? Well, DCF came out today. They're looking at taking the kids away from my daughter. They want my daughter to go into some sort of rehabilitative care. She doesn't want to. She doesn't want to be away from the kids. The father, he's down the road, and he's got his own share of issues. I'm watching the kids, and now DCF is saying to me, if you don't get her to do what we want to do, we're going to shelter the child, which means removing the child, putting ultimately the child may come back to them. The child may go with someone else. And now where this is going is down a very tricky, I'm going to walk you through that road, a very tricky and dangerous road for the grandparents, for the girl, for the father, for the whole family. We got a caller. Let's go with the call.
Okay, Richard is, I believe, calling in right now and has got a question, a legal question for Robert. Well, Richard was there. Hey, Richard, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Richard. Yes, we can. What's your question for Robert?
Okay, in my estate, as far as my will, I have five children. One of the five is not married. He has no children, but he's got a girlfriend. And quite frankly, I'm not interested in this girlfriend getting my money. And I was wondering, how would you contract it whereby he could possibly get it, but she would not be allowed to have any of it? Is there such an animal?
You know, it's interesting. That's a very frequent concern for a lot of people. Here's what happens, and there really is a series of ways to get to this place. The first is, as you currently have your will set up, is that you have five children and he would be one of the beneficiaries or heirs at law. She has no entitlement to that money. However, let's say that he gets married to her. The money that upon your death, the money that he would get, he would then have to take measures to protect, which means now the battleground would be in family law and estate planning, but not just the estate planning, but in family law planning. And it goes like this. Before marrying her, he would need to do, I always recommend to do a prenuptial. That's because it would deal with accumulations on that money. But now I'm going to introduce you to a trick that you're going to know that most lawyers, if you stop them in the street right now, and I always like to test people to do that, just for fun. So you could do this too, Roger. Grab a lawyer and say to him, I'm going to introduce you to the term interspousal giving, because most won't know this. Most won't know this. So they can't give you good advice if they don't know it themselves. So it goes like this. Your son, let's say, even though he's with her, and then he gets married to her, and even though he has a prenup, if he takes that money and he gifts it to her, or he gives her the benefit of the use of it, if I later am representing her and there's a divorce, even though he's going to argue, first, it's protected by the prenup. Second, it was an inheritance, which means it is, quote, separate property. What we call marital funds or marital property means, has a very specific definition, which includes all those things acquired during the marriage from marital funds. This is separate, what we would otherwise call separate property. So it sounds like it's a done deal. He's got her. No, he doesn't. Well, because
there's another problem.
Sure.
They're not married, but they have a contract where each will give upon their deaths. His estate goes to her. Her estate goes to him, even though they're not married.
Well, that's a problem.
What about a trust? Would that be something?
The trust is just a vehicle. I know, and a lot of people, when we get into the so-called trust, you're creating a separate entity. Most of the time, the reason people are interested in the trust is for control, but also for some additional protection against creditors' claims should he get into an automobile accident.
Right.
And some of the law has changed regarding that. But here's where you need to, in essence, in part, talk to your son. The problem isn't really initially so much on your end. It's on his end, which is, yes, listen to what he's saying. Now, I'm just gonna put it out there as it really is. He's saying, Dad, whatever money you give to me, understand, should I die, I want to share it with her. Now, you have an option. You can do this. I'm going to increase the share of the other four children. Son, if you stay in that setting with her, with those rules, then my money is going to the other four children, and you just increase their share because I don't want her to get a penny of it. Now, when we're saying getting crafty and doing some other different things, all of the mechanisms are to get the money and put it in a box, so to call it. Some do what we call a life insurance trust. That's what you were asking. So you take the money, life insurance, put it into a light, as we call it, a life insurance trust, with him as the beneficiary. But whatever he has a legal or equitable interest in upon his death, he's saying, I want it to go to her. So
right.
A trick would be, you get with a estate planning attorney on your end. You either deal with him, as I said, that you tell him whatever you're going to tell him, which isn't going to work, is upon looking for a vehicle that the money going to him upon his death, that he is going to exclude the money that you have set up in whatever vehicle you put it in, that upon his death, he's accepting it. You follow? In other words, he has a separate devise for that money because you have it set up in a special little box, that money is going to go somewhere else and it's not going to go to her. Between the two of you, my point is you can figure this out, but everything has to be drafted accordingly. There's ways for him to accept that money on his end. My point to you was, once you give it to him, if you don't have the mechanisms in place with your with your person who did the drafting. So, in other words, upon his death, it comes back or reverts back to you. Some mechanism, but you need a mechanism either on your end or a mechanism on his end. But the two of you need to talk, figure it out, and certainly seek counsel to help you do that specific devise. But it can be done. It can be done. That's a great question, and I hope that helped. But anyway, call us at 222-TALK, 222-TALK. You're listening to A Lawyer's Edge, and we are here for you.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Our final segment of The Lawyer's Edge is on. I'm Roger Henderson. Robert Slama here. David Trouty out in mediation right now. We're talking about some very important legal issues. And, you know, sometimes they're difficult relationships. You know, you and I were wondering, yeah, why? What is he up against his daughter-in-law is my question. But, of course, that wasn't his. And, you know, that's not my business. But this kind of thing happens a lot in families, huh?
It does. And, you know, it's not necessarily someone has, quote, something. It's when you've worked hard for your money and you want to help your, like in this case, your children,
mm-hmm.
and soon, as they develop and get older, your grandchildren, you will have a very vested interest in how the kids and the grandchildren are doing. Then you see, because it's going to happen, Roger. I know you're the. I mean, he's got lovely daughters, and they're all very smart and doing very well. One of them may hook up with someone who's got a different philosophy in life, which could be, when I say different philosophy, I'm being generous,
mm-hmm.
sits around, likes to go to the beach, and likes to study the woods, as I call it, and knows much about the woods and the birds and the bees and everything else, but mm-hmm. not so, too much about the inside of an office. So you're sitting there going, I'll be darn. You know, what about my grandkids? What about little whoever?
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes real. And I'm telling you, in every family, the rule of one always applies. There's always one. So if you have four, God bless you. Three are probably going to make it fine. But one is going to get hooked up somewhere. And you will spend all your time. This is like the prodigal son, right? The Bible story. You got a whole flock of sheep, but you spend most of your time on the one or two that are going the wrong way. It happens. Every family, it happens in some fashion. So it's not a surprise. But anyway, I hope that helps. And I'm trying to show you through his question. You see, the problems that he's looking forward to that may happen or in the process of happening, if you plan and you address the issue and you do it smartly, mm-hmm. ultimately you can figure it out. But if you don't and you just hope it works out, which is what most people do, because it puts you on a confrontation necessarily in the relationship with all these issues which you know are going to come up.
Do you find, Robert, that sometimes the legal structures that are being set up sometimes hurt the relationship? If you know, for example, that mom and dad are pushing, you know, their son to get a prenuptial agreement before he marries Cindy, and then poor Cindy is, you know, left with nothing if things don't work out. And of course, you always hear, well, you're planning on divorce if you get a prenup, and these kind of things can harm your relationships. Have you seen that? And how
oh, gosh,
are those
yes.
reserved?
Oh, my. All the time. In fact, I just had a friend who was the choir director at our church, got married, has a baby. And it's just funny how things change. Because it goes like this. Friends like that, you recommend a prenup, and they look at you initially like you have five heads. And it's because when you do a prenup, it is true, you are thinking of divorce before it ever happens. Really what you're doing in a prenup is, you are planning what the divorce is going to look like should it happen at a time when you're trying to get ready for a wedding. And don't get me wrong, for everyone who hears this, I know that sounds odd. And it is odd. However, do you know what the divorce rate is inside the church or outside the church in Duval County?
I think it's probably higher than I think outside the church, in some, at least nationally, because of the reason why. A lot of people outside the church don't even bother to get married. They just do a change of address form with the post office. So therefore, the divorce rate would be higher or as high, I think.
You're looking at 70-something percent. So it just depends.
This is in the church.
In and out, there's like a point difference. You're looking at between, say, it depends on what you look at and how accurate the polls are, but my point is this. You're looking at, of every four people that you see, three are going to end up in divorce. Now, that same guy, if I should see him later, let's call him Mr. Smith, who said, I tried to talk with her about a prenup, and she looked at me and gave me the eyes and said, blah, blah, blah.
And her beautiful eyes are why you got down on one knee anyway, so you couldn't say yes.
Now, you want to know what's funny, Roger? Because most people, this may be a shock.
Uh-huh.
Ask me this question. Do you see more men or women coming in for prenups these days?
I would think, gosh, you know, it's hard to say because women are really on the ball when it comes to their careers and are making significant income these days, but I don't know.
Women
are asking for prenups.
Women. And you know what's funny? They don't bat an eye at either what he thinks. The guy will come in and say, but I'm telling you, I sat down with her and I just said the P word, and the first come the I, second comes the you're kidding, and third is, well, I'll do it if you really want me to do it, but I'm not really thrilled with it.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see how the women come in? They sit down. They open up their little book. Very businesslike. I've yet to see one yet explaining any difficulty with doing this. You know what I hear? I worked hard for this. I got my retirement. And don't get me wrong, I'm not weighing in saying whether you should or you shouldn't, particularly if someone's been through divorce. Even if you haven't. But I'm saying it's the recognition of, I've worked hard for what I have. I acquired most of what I see is, say, a woman who's in her mid-30s, has a 401k, a nice one, working, went to school, has a house, and has savings and working on her retirement. I'm not putting all this at risk that you, Mr. Smith-to-be, just showed up in my life, and now you're marrying me. In other words, if you want me, you get me, but you don't get the assets.
Right. Now, assets that were accumulated prior to the marriage, wouldn't that automatically stay with the spouse? So they have to split everything going forward. I thought it was the assets that they accumulated together.
Listen to the first part that I just did, so I'll go through it again.
Okay.
Here's how it goes. Technically, if she then later got divorced, I would plead on her behalf, that is non-marital property.
Okay.
However, what happens, Roger, to the accumulations on that property? For example,
so someone would have to die.
No. Hang on. Stay put. Get roots. Johnny gets in the house, or you, and Johnny says, I want to fix up this house. What if they add on a room? What if Johnny comes out and he fixes up the grounds? He does all the grounds and he increases the value of that house $25,000. What if he adds on a room in the back and he does most of the labor? He has no ownership to the accumulation on the property. What happens to what we call passive accumulation on the property? They get married when they're 22, and at 42, they get divorced. Over 20 years, the passive appreciation on the property, it goes from $140,000 to $260,000. Does the...
And the growth in the IRA, the same thing, or the 401k.
Forget the 401k is a little bit different, but I'm saying the house as an asset they both lived in. What do you do with that? Well, the prenups I do addresses accumulations, passive appreciation, everything in essence he does. But there can be issues created that breed litigation. And what does litigation breed? Resolution through settlement. So you would not be happy if you had done all that work on the house, all this stuff, increased the value, and then say, I'm not entitled to $60,000 or $80,000 in increased value, what we call enhancement. So people are pleading things. My point is, even though it's a non-marital asset, after the marriage, at some point, Remember I said interspousal gifts? You can run into all kinds of situations. There was a case that just came out last year on interspousal giving. A very wealthy guy has a separate property. Say, it's a 50-acre ranch. He gives her keys to the place, tells her she can go out there, she can stay there, she can eat there, she can drink there. I mean, picture it. It's kind of like, let's call it the South Fork Ranch.
Okay.
It's out there. He owns it. He got it from Dad. It's never been hers. But he gave her exclusive use to the place during the marriage. Do you know what that nice attorney from Miami pled? She owns it.
She has to now maintain the life to which she's become accustomed.
No, that's alimony. I'm talking about that's a separate issue. I'm talking about interspousal gifting, that by giving her control over the place and keys and unfettered access, he gifted. There's only two requirements for a gift. This is what good lawyering does. It either costs you what you own or it gets you what you pursue. Two elements to a gift. Roger, I say, my car. I want you to have my car. I didn't gift anything yet. I take my keys and I hand my keys to Roger and I say, Roger, here are the keys to my car. A gift is complete upon delivery. Once I give you exclusive use, ownership, and control of my car, I have now gifted it to you.
Thank you.
Now, can you gift anything? You can gift anything and everything that you have. So if Roger has a ring and he wants to give a ring to a good friend, he says, here's my ring. Once you give it to them and you give up exclusive ownership and control of that item, i.e. delivery with, now let me give you the with the intent to effectuate a gift, he owns it. Then you say, two weeks later, which happens, now I get into a fight with him. I'm not his friend anymore. Give me the ring back. Done. You know, in family law cases all the time, the first thing oftentimes a guy is asking for back is, I gave her the engagement ring. I want my ring back. I just gave you the same elements. It was a gift. How was it a gift? I hand it to you with the intent to make it a gift. Once I give it to you and I've delivered it to you, you have exclusive use and ownership of that item. The gift is complete upon delivery with the intent to make it a gift.
Right.
You're done.
Interesting.
Get it back? No, you're not getting it back. So here's the point. All of the stuff we're talking about today, and we have 2 minutes left, I want to finish on dependency. If DCF comes to your house, when is the time to call the attorney? As they are walking up the driveway. I mean this. If you think, if I play along and I do what they say and I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, everything is good, everything is fine. Oh, no. You need to understand how to deal with DCF and what the rules of engagement are and where this case is going. But your visitation grandparents, parents, is hanging in the balance the minute these folks show up. Why are they showing up? Because someone has placed a call, which is privileged, because of abuse, abandonment, or neglect. So your rights are derivative of the child's rights, your child. And if your child is in a difficult situation, then the way I typically deal with DCF and try to keep them out is by having you manage the child, your child. And how are we going to have you manage your child? Through setting up a guardianship 9 times out of 10. So in other words, you getting a handle on the child is a way to get a handle on the situation, which is a way to keep control and eliminate all these bad things that may happen once you get into dependency court. Because ultimately there's only two ways it ends. Reunification or TPR. You've been listening to A Lawyer's Edge. Please call us and check in each week from 2 to 3. I'll be in the studio with David Trotty and Roger Henderson. You can call us on the buzzer at 222-TALK. You're listening to A Lawyer's Edge.